Yeah. more than just a man who walked the shores of Galilee. And he's more than just a man who made those blinded eyes to see. And he's more than just a man who hung upon that cruel tree. 'Cause he's my Savior, and he's everything to me.
He's my Savior, and he's everything to me. For without him, just think how lost I'd be. He's the only one who can save.
He's more than just a man who walked barefooted on the sand. And he's more than just a man who had those nail scars in his hand. He's more than just a man who raised old Lazarus from that grave. He's my Savior, and he died my soul to save.
He's my Savior, and he's everything to me.
For without you, just think how lost we'd be.
Ooh, he's the only one who can save.
Well, what a privilege and what a joy to be able to sing the songs of Zion, especially sing about the Savior, because he is worthy, and no one else is worthy, but he is worthy, and I'm so thankful for that. I hope you have brought your Bible today. I want you to read with us out of the book of Numbers, out of the Old Testament. The book of Numbers, out of the Old Testament. I want to read just a little bit out of the 32nd chapter, I believe it is. Yes, the 32nd chapter. Out of the book of Numbers, we're going to read into a passage of Scripture that had to deal with a time when the children of Israel were fixing to really go into the promised land. Now, they had kind of toyed with it, if we can call it that. They had been close at times, they might have thought. It kind of reminds us of what we think. Sometimes we think the Lord's coming back just right now today.
And sometimes we're disappointed when he don't come back. And that's the reason that scripture says is so important to me. Be ye therefore ready. I mean, that's the one that's important. You remember the virgins, there was some that was wise and some that was foolish. The ones that was right, wise, was they were ready to go. I mean, they were ready. And when that bridegroom made that call, there wasn't no hesitation. The others said, well, can you help us out? And can you give us what you've got? And they said, nope, don't have any despair. You got to go get for your own. Salvation is something you have to get for your own. You can't get it from nobody else. I want to read something about happened to the children of Israel. And it's found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers. I'm going to spot read on you, so don't get concerned. I want to spot read just a little bit. Verse 1 says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. Different. That was different. We always think of over there, they got a bunch of sheep. Well, they do. But they got cattle too. Watch this. When they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Now see, they done eyeballed it. They done said, well, you know, God's leading us into the promised land, but look here, this land looks pretty good for cows. All right, watch this. The children of Gad and of children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the prince of the congregation. Now, what they wanted to do was stay. They wanted to stay behind. They knew the promise. They knew the promise of God. They knew God had given them the land. They'd heard it all their life, and they wanted to stay. Now that didn't mean that they wanted to be disinherited, not for one bit. They didn't mean that they wanted to not do a lot of things, but they just didn't want to go. They wanted to stay. Verse 5, wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Now, I want you to know, I don't want to make anybody unhappy, but I got news for you. When it comes time for the Lord to call me home, I don't want to stay. I want to go. I've had enough of down here. I want to go. And when we go, when we return back, it's a whole lot different than when we go. When we leave this world, I'll be glad to say farewell, sweetheart. I'll be glad to holler out farewell because I don't want to come back, but the Lord will let me come back under different conditions. Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and ye sit here? In other words, them other 10 tribes, they're going to go on. They got to fight. Are you going to just sit here while they go and fight? Now they hadn't thought this through. You know what they done got? They done got self-centered. They done saw themselves, what they wanted, what was good for their family, what was good for their cows, and they wanted to stay right there. They were happy, content. But Moses was smart enough. Moses is smart enough to say, you know what? Are you going to just sit right here while your other brothers are going to go fight? Listen. And the Bible says, and this is where I really want you to listen to, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel? Wait a minute. Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel? You mean to tell me if we stay behind, it's going to affect somebody else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What do you mean if I don't do this? You mean to tell me I can hurt somebody else if I don't do? Yes, sir, you can. In fact, the children of Israel were not strong enough to defeat the armies that they were fixing to face. They weren't strong enough. And then you take away 2 out of the 12, you take them 2 out, and I got news for you, the tribe of Levi, they wasn't no count for fighting. That only leaves you 9. I mean, we're in bad shape. We can't survive. You see, when you start looking at one another, it's easy to get discouraged. If I look at you and you look at me, man, if I don't give you the smiley face, you're going to think, what's wrong with the preacher? Friend of mine, we're not to look at one another. If we look at one another, we'll find discouragement. We're to look above. Our perfect gifts come from above. But he said, if you don't go, these people are going to be much discouraged. Look at what it says in verses 8. Thus did your fathers. Thus did your fathers. I sent them, from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. And when they went to the Valley of Acorn, I'm not going to read all that. When I sent them over to view the land, they come back. And when they come back, 10 out of 12, now I'm going to show you numbers this morning, but 10 out of 12, them rascals, they come back with they were discouraged. They had that same look that the children of Israel are going to have if you stay here behind. Now, we can't have that. We can't have a discouraged look one more time. You know what it really means? It means that kind of spreads. It's kind of like cancer. Cancer left unchecked spreads. It's hardly ever if that cancer just stay in one spot. It loves to travel on. The children of Israel right now were getting a repeat. A repeat. See, when Moses told them to go, this was before Joshua and Caleb had ever made a name for themselves. And the only reason that they made a name for themselves is they believed God. They didn't look around and say, like I just told you, statistics. Oh, friend, we go over there, there's a bunch of giants. They're more than them. There's more of them than it is of us. Oh, and out of all of our people, there's only 11 tribes that does a fighting. Them Levites, they just like to go to church. They don't really like to do nothing else. See, they don't think about God in this situation. Nobody had thought about what God wanted. You see, God is our leader. He is the one that tells us what to do. We are His servants. It's not the other way around. When I pray, I ask, I don't tell. Remember that. When you pray, you better be doing asking. You better not be doing a telling. Because God doesn't comprehend us saying, God, this is what you ought to do. God don't work that way. God doesn't all of a sudden let us be in charge and say, oh, guess what? I'm going to stay right here. No, the children of Israel, according to the promise of God, according to the Abrahamic promise, they were to go into the land. Every foot that Abraham, man, that was going to be y'all's land. It wasn't time to stay. It was time to move on. Now, let's go on. We ain't done yet, but let's go on just a little. And I promise I'll stop just, and we'll pray in just one moment. So it tells in verses 12 and 13 about Joshua and Caleb. Verse 13 now. And the Lord's anger was kindled. The Lord's anger was kindled. You done brought up a fire against Israel. And He made them wander around in the wilderness 40 years. Now, that's old. We all know that. But listen to it. Moses is repeating this. He let them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed, which means they died. And behold, you got a statement now. Ye are risen up from your father's stead. May we pray. Father, we thank You, God, for the words. And I ask You to prepare hearts. God, I ask You to move upon people's lives. God, move upon us. God, move upon me. God, help me to find, God, all those wicked ways. God, help me confess those things. God, help my life to be a light, not to just a lost and dying world, to be able to help a long life's journey, God, to somebody. Thank You, God, that we know beyond a shadow of doubt where we're going, but we want also everyone else to know. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage of Scripture is bringing up what had happened right there in the presence of Moses one more time. When you know sin raises its ugly head, and God did everything within His power to push that sin down. Sin cannot be dissolved right now. It's not going to be gone away. We can't do enough good to get rid of sin. There's not enough holiness within us to even make a drop in the bucket of getting rid of sin. Holiness, sinlessness, every bit of that comes from God, not us. Friend of mine, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. But I'm no fight for the devil. All right? Listen to this. So Moses hears what these two tribes. Now here's these leaders of these tribes standing in front. And they have a desire of their heart. They want Moses, let us stay. This is what our hearts want. And so we know what's fixing to happen. We know that Moses now can only tell folks what God has done. He can only tell us what has happened in their past. Now remember what the Bible said. The Bible said God was going to destroy everybody. When if you were 20 years old and upward, I got news for you. You're not going to make it. 20 years old. Now, it's been a long time since I've been 20. And to look at some of you, it's been a long time too. Okay? And when you're above 20 years old and upward, and you only, I got news for you. Most of the folks in the Bible we think was like Methuselah, lived over 900 years old. And I got news for you. That ain't the way it works now. In fact, in this particular time, because of their sin, because of their ungodliness in front of God, and their disobedience, and because of their unwillingness, you know what happened? God says, let me pick a number out of the hat. Nope. God does not do things by random. God does not flip a coin and see how it lands. God said, for if you're 20 years old and upward, you're gone. Oh, now, friend, I don't understand the mind of God. I don't understand what God's doing. Friend of mine, we look at what we call the age of accountability. In fact, when Jesus was 12, walked into the temple, whenever he was walking through with all those folks and answering the questions of those very smart people that was in the church that day, he would ask them questions, he would give them answers and all that. Man, he had them folks scratching their head. Well, every one of us said, 12 years old is a good age that you ought to get saved. That ain't the way God works. In fact, the age of accountability is not recorded in this Bible. It's not recorded. In fact, we know that you can be saved when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin. And that wooing of the Spirit, whenever He convicts you, you can be saved. It doesn't matter the age. It's up to God. Just like it was up to God to choose the age of 20 and upward. And the Bible says that He is telling this to these folks, and these folks are hearing it. They have probably heard it before. But Moses is giving the account right now one more time in their hearing. It kind of reminds me of God saying to us the Ten Commandments. Well, maybe you need to hear them again. Maybe it's like the New Testament that we read or the Old Testament that we read. Maybe we need to hear it again. Maybe we need to listen this time what God says. And when God said that, now watch with me. He made them to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until all that generation died. So that if you hadn't done the math, if you was a 60-year-old, you could die. 60-year-old, you could die. You see, God's not concerned with age as much as He's concerned with what you do with your age. Because you can act like a 60-year-old today and be a child in your thinking and be a child in your ways and say, well, I'm not going to listen to God. You know, ain't that what children do to their parents sometimes? They say, I'm not going to listen. And what does a parent do? If a parent's worth a grain of salt, he hopefully changes their attitude just a little bit. Because the reality is, we all are accountable to somebody. We all are accountable to somebody. Let me get down to where we need to start. Verse 14, and behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead. Behold, you are risen up in your father's stead. What does that mean? What that meant was, if you were under the age of 20, if you was 19 years old, somehow or another, God's grace was granted to you a little different than those that were 20 years old and upward. I'm not trying to tell you God's a respect of persons, but God extended His grace a little further. God granted a way for every one of those that died from 20 years old and upward. God granted. God provided. God let them go through their circumstances in life as it was. When the children of Israel wandered around for those 40 years, that didn't mean God banished them. God allowed them to live in their circumstances just like you live in your circumstances today. What's wrong with me, preacher? I can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. Friend of mine, it's up not to the preacher. It's up between you and God how you live your life. If you want to pray more, you pray more. If you want to read your Bible more, you read your Bible. But if you choose to read nothing and do nothing, that's between you and God. Now watch with me. These people that were 20 years old and upward began to die out one after another, one after another. At the beginning of that time when Moses, when all this began to take place, there was a majority of folks that was going to die out. And as time went along, folks began to fade by the wayside. And it got down to the part when there was not no one left. There was not a one that could firsthand remember it the way that it actually happened. Now you listen and listen very well. We've had soldiers in our wars that have fought throughout our history in America. And they can always write it in the history books and they can always tell it. Everybody give their version of it. But unless you was actually in the war, you don't know what you're talking about. Friend of mine, when the children of Israel began that denial and God let them wander around for 40 years, they remembered what it meant to wander around. And they could not be fooled. They could not be mistaken. They were all about what God was doing. And when that last person died, the memory of that had faded. Watch this. And here's what they said. Here's what Moses said. And behold, ye are risen. You've come up. You've been raised up of your fathers, in your father's stead. First thing I want to talk to you about is when our old folks are gone. What does that mean? What does it mean when our old folks are gone? For just a moment, I want you to listen. Some of the greatest times in my childhood is to be able to see or hear or to observe when it really come to meeting time in church houses. From folks would gather together to pray. Now, as a child, I did not understand prayer. Oh, I didn't. I didn't understand that sometimes somebody would just get real loud. And sometimes somebody would just cry. Somebody would just rejoice. And they're praying. I've seen folks from old to young to every age in the middle get up and pray. I couldn't understand it. Couldn't figure it out. What were they doing? How is it? You see, I've learned a lot by watching somebody else just pray. Never participating, but watching them pray. Sometimes I hear people that have such great words. Boy, I say, boy, that sounds good. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that great words is what really gets his heart. The Bible uses things, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But I've heard folks, and I've watched folks. See, I've seen old folks pray. I've seen old folks kneel in prayer. Kneeling all over church house. I've seen folks kneel, even actually outside of the church house, folks would kneel. And I've never quite understand why folks isn't be kneeling. They go down to an old bench that I didn't know what it was at that time, but old mourner's bench, and they'd get down there and they'd just kneel and pray. I learned that from old folks. I learned that from folks that I thought, man, were they smart? Did they know what they're doing? I believe they made spiritual decisions that was important too. I believe what that spiritual decision meant was there'd be times when the preaching of the gospel was going on, they'd sit in reverence. And they'd hear that word. And I'd hear folks say like, amen. And I never quite understood that as a youngster. But I'd see folks, when it come time for preaching, man, everybody go. When it's singing, it might be a little, you know, communication, people walking around and everything, babies crying, all that kind of, but it seemed like when preaching started, things kind of quieted down. It seemed like when preaching was going, in other words, I learned a lot from old folks. And a lot of them were spiritual. Old folks didn't teach me how to change an oil in a car. But I've seen a lot of old folks teach me the things about church. And I didn't even know what it meant. Huh. This is going to be a time frame. This is going to be a time frame when the old folks are gone. They're gone. Because if it was 20 years old and upward, they're gone. You mean to tell me that there could be a time when the old folks are gone? What does that mean, preacher? Friend of mine, the wisdom that they can convey down to us is no longer there. Huh. Because you see, sometimes wisdom comes when you're spending time with God. And how much time do you spend with God? How much time do you find yourself asking God to give you direction? How many times do you ask God, help me to get on my knees a little bit more? You see, we don't mind telling God, but I think the children of Israel had to learn something. And some of these lessons need to have been learned by some old folks. And they didn't learn it. Spiritual decisions is a tough one. Because spiritual decision means that separates from everybody. But let me hurry. Where are the old ones when they're all gone? And it's the talk that's going around of the day, what I call the talk of the day. When you ever around a bunch of folks, and what do they talk about? Remember years ago when we criticized them old folks that they'd sit out in front of the stores, sit on them benches, sit all day long, did nothing? That's what you always claim. And they tell stories and stories and stories. That's how them fishermen stories ever started. But I'm not talking in general. I'm just talking about the talk of the day. The talk of the day was what might be going on in everybody's activity and everybody's understanding. But really and truly, you might pick up a tidbit about folks. What you might pick up is if you're there on a Monday morning, they might say, what did you do yesterday? And they find out really quick if you go to church. Or on a Thursday, what did you do yesterday? Oh, we went to church last night. Or if it's on a Sunday, what'd you do last night? You see, sometimes when we miss them old folks, sometimes we miss the stories that they tell. Some of the greatest stories in life that you'll find, if you'll listen to them very carefully, some of them old farmers that get out there and they plow and they farm, and all they're doing is thinking about what's going on. They didn't have their mind on that latest song that was playing in their ears. They didn't have in their mind, they got to hurry up because they got somewhere else to go. They had one thing in mind. They was plowing, letting God do the plowing. You see, sometimes you can be living in this world but being not of this world. Sometimes you can be right in the middle of working and doing your factory job or doing what job you do every day, but that don't mean you have to be totally sold in on what the world wants. The talk of the town. Friend of mine, what was the talk in that day? We want to keep cattle. There's nothing wrong with keeping cattle. There's nothing wrong with keeping sheep. Nobody hardly does it today. But there's nothing wrong with it as long as you have the right priorities on keeping cattle and keeping sheep. There's nothing wrong with what you do in everyday life as long as you let God be the leader. In other words, when the old folks are gone, how are you going to know which way's up? Which way's right? Which way's holy? Sometimes we learn those best lessons just because of the talk that's going on in the community. The talk of the community should be about the soul of man. I imagine years ago, before we got all these modern communication things, a lot of talk about revival meetings happened at the local church had to come by word of mouth. You didn't have an advertisement. You didn't have the internet. So it was word of mouth. When old folks are gone, how do you tell the stories that they tell? And some of the stories that they told would just make you listen to them. Now listen. Moses starts telling this, and they say, "You're in my father's stead." In other words, you've learned something. You're learning something. You're learning something what's going on right now. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this part right here. When he said, "You're in my father's stead." When the old folks are gone, and the only place you got to go is where they were. They wandered around the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. They literally died in the wilderness. Now, where did they bury them folks? They didn't hold them all. I don't know. I don't know how many folks it was, but it was more than a few. You know what that meant? They had to bury those folks because it's 40 years worth of burials. When the old folks are gone, are they going to be just in the graveyard? Are they going? Is that the place? And remember, when Jesus died, there's a lot of folks that say, "Well, you know, the grave can't hold his body." And then we all do all that kind of talk. We all say, "Well, listen, in reality, there was a whole bunch of other graves around Jesus on the day he died. There were cemeteries full of folks all around that had already died before Jesus died." What made Jesus different? What made him different? What made somebody that had followed the path of the flesh? See, the difference was he was sinless and perfect. And death could not hold sinless or perfection. And friend, death couldn't hold on to. Death can hold on. Death has conquered me. It's conquered you. But because of Jesus, he will not conquer death or me or you. But listen, let me go on. When the children of Israel began to die in the wilderness, is the only thing we think important to do is to go by and visit the graveyard. Occasionally we'll go to visit our folks. Occasionally we'll go to some of the other places that maybe not our immediate family, but others are buried, and we'll go by and just see folks occasionally. And when you go there, you'll say, "Oh, yeah, that's so-so," and it brings a memory back in your mind. If that's all we go to the cemetery for is bring back a memory, we've missed the mark. Friend, when old folks are gone, you will lose this story. The story was when you come back into the land and you're defeated, when you come back into the land and you say, "We can't take the land," you're telling God, "We can't do it." When old folks are gone, there must be somebody that will stand in their father's stead. Now you listen and listen to this. If you don't listen, nothing else. What does that mean? My father, I never learned a thing from. I was too young. I didn't get to learn nothing, not one thing. But I wasn't depending on my earthly father to get me to heaven. Even if he would have been alive, like many of your fathers were. You were not dependent upon him to get you to heaven. You weren't even dependent on Moses to get the children of Israel into heaven. What you had to depend upon was God. See, when the old folks were gone, God was showing there is still a way. When old folks are gone, when all the elderly were gone, the 20 years old and upward were gone, there is still a way. There is a remembrance that God wants, but there is still a way. The door to salvation has never closed. The door of opportunity to be saved is still open today. Today is a day of salvation. Friend of mine, God still saves folks today. Listen to this passage right here. When those folks died out, somebody had to stand in behalf of their father. That means you right now today represent somebody else. If you're somebody else was lost, then you're the starter. Which means if my parents would have been disobedient and not been saved, God's depending on you to carry in their stead. You see, when disobedience comes to folks, it's up to somebody to stand. There's a little passage of Scripture. We read about it in Ezekiel. But you read about it when it come time to stand on the wall to warn when the wicked would come. Whenever you would stand on that wall, you had options. One is to warn. Two is to do nothing. If you stood on that wall and did nothing and the enemy came, the Bible said God requires of you their blood. It requires of you their blood. But if you stood on that wall and you warned the wicked that the wicked is coming, and you warn everybody and say, look, they're coming, blood is not required at your hand because you have done the warning. Right now, I represent somebody else in my family. It's my time to carry the torch until God calls me home. Who do I represent? Well, I'd like to be able to tell you I represent my daddy, but it's my heavenly Father that I represent. See, I'd like to be able to tell you my daddy's name was Luther. I'd like to say that I'm a spitting image of Luther, and I do what he told me to do, and I act like he wanted me to act. But I got news for you. Friend, God's the one that teaches us and guides us and tells us. See, when the old folks are gone, God's still there. When they've tried to teach us something, God's still there. We may go to our grave, but God's not going to stop being God. God's going to be God for all of us. And God will be God for all of us when even we're dead and gone. Because in my Father's stead, his time don't pass away. No. No, God's stead is going to last on and on until he comes back. And when he comes back to get the whole load. He don't get a partial load. He's going to carry us all with him. Ain't you glad that God loves us? No matter what I've done wrong in my life, friend, I'm glad God's the one that saved my soul and not me. I'm glad to know today, friend, that no matter what wrong I do in life, Jesus is there to way to lead me the way in the right way, not the wrong way, the right way. And I'm glad for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But not only me. He's done it for all of us, every one of us in this room. Have I been a disappointment? Oh, yes, I have. But Jesus has never been a disappointment to me. If you're here today, friend, when the old folks are gone, Who's going to stand in your Father's stead? Who's going to stand? Friend of mine, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ will never sit. He stands always for me. He represents me. Friend, I can't even talk for myself. He has to do my talking for me. I won't stand in front of God in judgment and say, oh, look here, God, help me out. No, sir, Jesus will stand in front. There's no way I stand alone. I stand by the blood of Jesus Christ, or there's no standing at all. Friend of mine, if you're lost without God, you can be saved. But it won't be because of me, and it won't be because of your family. It'll be because of Jesus Christ. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Gordon. I don't know your heart or your life, but I know Him. And I know the reason why I live and the reason why I move and have my being. It's not because of me. It's because of what Jesus has done. And if you've never been saved, friend of mine, what are we going to do when the old folks are gone? Are we going to just say it's a pitiful day? Or are we going to trust Jesus that's a giver of life? May we stand and sing a verse. God speaking to you. You come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Come today.